What shall we say then? Shall we go on sinning so that grace may increase? By no means. We died to sin. How can we live in it any longer? But don't you know that all of us who were baptized into Christ Jesus were baptized into his death? We were therefore buried with him through baptism into death, in order that just as Christ was raised from the dead through the glory of the Father, we too may live a new life. If we've been united with him like this in his death, we will certainly also be united with him in his resurrection. For we know that our old self was crucified with him so that the body of sin might be done away with, that we should no longer be slaves to sin, because anyone who has died has been freed from sin. Now, if we died with Christ, we believe that we will also live with him. For we know that since Christ was raised from the dead, he cannot die again. Death no longer has mastery over him. The death he died to sin once for all. But the life he lives to God. In the same way, count yourselves dead to sin, but alive to God in Christ Jesus. Therefore, we do not let sin reign in your mortal body. Therefore, do not let sin reign in your mortal body, so that you obey its evil desires. Do not offer the parts of your body to sin as instruments of wickedness, but rather offer yourselves to God as those who have been brought from death to life, and offer the parts of your body to him as instruments of righteousness. For sin shall not be your master, because you are not under law, but under grace. So Christ has died, and Christ is risen. We've read the book, we've watched the video, we've ate the chocolate. These things are true. They're historical facts. But the question we've been asking these last couple of weeks is, well, okay, he died, he rose again. What's that got to do with me? And last week, for those of you perhaps who weren't here, and if you weren't, why not? We looked at Romans chapter 5, and we said these three things. We're put right with God, we stand in his grace, and we rejoice in the hope of his glory. And all these benefits are ours through faith alone. Our past sins are forgiven. Our present is lived in the grace of God. And our future glory is something that we look forward to. So that's all of life sorted, isn't it? Past, present, and future. And all of this through faith alone. If we believe, then we receive. And that's just amazing. Now, Paul's audience were people who've been taught all their lives, if you want to get to heaven, if you want to be right with God, if you want to be in God's good books, then you must be good. You must try hard to live the best lives that you can, if God's going to accept you. And now Paul's saying, look, you'll never be good enough. But actually, the more you sin, the more grace there is to cover that sin. As the Authorized Version says, where sin abounds, then grace superabounds. And that's a fantastic thing, isn't it? That God should grant so much grace to cover all our sins. But then you think, well, hang on. Therefore, the more I sin, the more grace there will be. Therefore, I'll sin all the more. It's beautiful. And it's that kind of thinking that Paul is writing to here in chapter 6. He answers the argument in verse 2 as we read, by no means! No way! On your bike! Think carefully about this. And his basic point is that we have a change of status. A change of status has been declared. We've gone from being sinners in God's eyes to being saints in God's eyes. I understand there's something out there on the worldwide interface or something or other called social networking, is it? You know, to me, like, I'm antisocial, you know, that's how I network, you know that. Don't you, right? But there's a thing called Twitch Face or something. Is this like that? I don't know. Or Book Tweet or something. What's it called? Twitters, yeah. Facebook, isn't it? That's the one. Now, I remember in the original settings, I've never had a Facebook account, right? But I remember the original settings, because all my family have got their own. In the profile, you could set it to say you were either single or you were in a relationship. I did check last night looking at Jan's, and it doesn't give you this option anymore, which... I remember my daughter proudly changing her status from single to in a relationship. This is how she told her friends that she and Dave, the man she's going to marry later this year, had become an item. I understand equally, some people actually inform their partners that their relationship is over on Facebook. They don't have to talk to them anymore. You can change your status, or you could before they revamped it. You could change your status from single to in a relationship. The point is, it's a definitive moment, isn't it? You press the button, your status changes. Just like when you put your faith in Christ, when you invite him into your heart, you go from being a sinner to a saint. Your status changes. And it's a radical change. You're no longer who you were. You are a new creation. In fact, the old has died and the new is born. And therefore, it's inconceivable. This is what Paul's saying, that you would want to go back to the old you. Sin all the more? Why would you want to do that? You're a new person. You've died to the old way of life. And now you're a new person. So you're Clark Kent, and you're sitting at your typewriter or whatever it is you sit at nowadays. And the call comes. You take off your glasses. Your little curly thing begins to grow at the front of your head here. Interesting, haven't you? You rip off your shirt, and suddenly you're Superman. So what do? You take the stairs? Do you hail a cab? Wait for the bus, wait in line for the... Of course you don't. Your status has changed, hasn't it? You fly out of the window. Obviously, it's open, hopefully, first. Do you know what I mean? Status has changed. Paul makes his point here by saying, look, we're united to Christ when we come to faith. If you like, we jump on his back. He gives us a piggyback. And just as he died, so we do. Just as he defeated sin, so sin is defeated in our life. Just as he rose to a new life, so we do as well. And his illustration is baptism, isn't it? We've seen it here often enough, although not recently enough, I have to say. But you've seen people go down into the water. They go under the water and they're buried. And then they're raised to a new life. Do you know, in South America, the minister just doesn't boringly say, I baptize you in the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. In parts of South America, he says, I kill you in the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. And I raise you again to that new life. By the way, baptism. You know who I'm talking to. Paul says, look, we've been crucified with Christ. We're dead to sin. Death is the ultimate cure for things, isn't it? You've got a headache? What's going to cure it? Death. Trust me, you won't have the headache anymore. Right? Allergies. You know, we're all getting allergies, aren't we? Ultimate cure? Death. Not a problem. Temptation. Sinfulness. Ultimate cure? Death. It's obvious, isn't it? When you're dead, and things don't bother you anymore. You're laughing, but this is Paul's argument. In Christ, we die to the old way of life and become new creatures. So he says, count yourself dead to sin and alive to God in Christ Jesus. Count yourself. Reckon yourself, think of yourself, convince yourself if you have to, that you are dead to sin and its penalty in your life, and you're alive to God in Christ Jesus. Now this is the way that God sees it. This is the way that God has declared it. This is what God the Father and Easter, this is what Good Friday and Easter Sunday has to do with you and me. The penalty for sin in our lives is broken. Now the clever among you will realise that the power of sin is still at work in your life. And that's why Paul goes on to say at the end of the passage we've read, and offer yourself to God as slaves of righteousness. This is the new logic, you see, isn't it, in our new bodies. It's not, let's sin all the more so that grace will abound all the more. It's rather, I've got grace in my life, so I'll sin less. I won't let it be my master. Rather, I'll offer myself to God. Morning, God. Where are we going today? What work have we got to do together today? How can I reflect you today in my life? Dead to sin, alive in Christ. Christ is risen. He is risen indeed. Hallelujah. Okay, we've got two short songs to sing while the children are finishing their pictures.